Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
This is the Friends of History Debating Society. A footnote. Germanicus and I spend our time looking 2,000 years ahead as far as we can see in the Ukraine conflict. But we also have memories of having these conversations through the Iraq War, fought by the United States from March of 2003 until technically the withdrawal of major forces in 2011. But there are still elements of the U.S. military deployed in parts of Iraq and certainly across the border in Syria. So the Iraq War is unending. What is striking about it, to my observation now, there's a new book that I'm reading by a young Iraqi correspondent. Well, I say he's young. He's in his 50s now. Gaith Abdul Ahad, A Stranger in Your Own City, Travels in the Middle East's Long War, is that the war is not finished if you're an Iraqi national. But most importantly, what I learned, Germanicus, is how little good information we had during the time of the war from the Iraqi point of view, especially because Iraq is understood as a sectarian competition between the major sect of Shia and the major sect of Sunni in the Arab world. And much of this book speaks to the civil war that broke out following the departure of Saddam Hussein between the sectarian Shia and the sectarian Sunni, and how little the American presence changed the conduct. There were bigger weapons, there was more money, but the murder squads operated whether they had 50 bullets or 5 bullets, and the neighborhoods cleanse themselves of the opposition, whether they had Humvees or just Toyotas. And the contest continued fiercely after the departure of the American forces in 2011, not the least of which was the rise of what we call ISIS today, Daesh, and the capture of Mosul and the brutalization of that population and the mass migration of Iraqis still going on. You can find Iraqis in the Darien Gap in Panama. You can find Iraqis crossing into Italy from Turkey. You can find Iraqis all through Canada, all through Australia, still emigrating. Very well educated, sensitive, vulnerable people who do not want to go back to an Iraq that is torn by sectarian conflict. But how little we knew of this, Germanicus. How little the State Department spoke of this during the conflict. As I recall, it was presented to us as the American forces will win over the forces of, and then fill in the blank, jihad or Mujahid Sadr or the tribes or murder squads or just gangsterism. That was said to be the opponent that the American might would solve. It didn't solve it. It's still going on. And I don't believe I've seen an accounting by those who were in authority 2003 to 2011 that they understood why they lost.
The U.S. during that period, and I know because I know Robert Kaplan, or at least used to know him well, and he wrote a book in which he described the war in Iraq from the standpoint and through the eyes of American soldiers, the way that the U.S. cavalry would have described the Indian Wars. There are some good Indians and some very, very bad Indians, one officer told him. Of course, he loved quoting that all the time. The fact is, we like to think that we were aping the British and the successful small wars the British fought throughout their empire under generals like Garnet Woolsey throughout the 19th century, when in fact, we were fighting wars in the Middle East that were, in fact, through our own eyes, looked at more like the wars that we fought against American Indians or against Mexicans, for that matter, or Filipinos or Cubans. And essentially, these were people to be either civilized or destroyed. And the U.S. had no desire ever to understand what was going through their head, or as they say, to walk a mile in their shoes. Didn't learn the language like many, many British did. I mean, the British district officers who ran India were superb anthropologists. They spoke all the native languages, and they provided a good administration for India. We did nothing of the sort because we weren't interested in doing anything of the sort. We built schools because that fed our ego and our narcissism that somehow we were bringing the artifacts of civilization to these poor, benighted Iraqis. And the schools that we built were like little temples or churches that would transform their spirit into one of democracy and would lift them out of the superstitions of their 14th century centered religion, et cetera, et cetera. And all of this meant that we were in Iraq, living in our little Emerald City, as it was called, you know, the Green Zone in Baghdad, not knowing anything of the surrounding country, not daring to venture out, and living in a world of Starbucks and McDonald's within the square mile fortress, and never knowing the world that we were missing. And I think if you look at every country in the Middle East that we visited and then destroyed and leveled and brought chaos, we still have no notion of what we did. And the American people, of course, have even less because they have never even traveled to that world. And it's ultimately a judgment on America, that it a country that is that thinks of itself as being not only exceptional, but God's agent to redeem the world, it thinks of itself so highly that it can never think of others in any way but as people to be converted to fellow American-like Democrats.
Right, raise China up and up until it's just like Kansas City. I think that's...
Yeah, and we assumed that China would become like us.
That's the joke.
And we were totally at the mercy of all these eager young Chinese students who came to the U.S. Many of them were my students, and they were wonderful people when I was teaching them. But we would project onto them the qualities and the mythic story that we expected to see, that our contact with them, like as if we were missionaries, Christian missionaries going to China, except instead we were professors teaching them here in the U.S., and they would become like little Americans.
Yeah.
This has always been the American presumption, the American vanity.
And Germanicus, is it your measure today, we talk through this war, that the individuals who are not the ones in charge, but the ones who participated, the military, the State Department, the contractors, that they've had second thoughts? Is it your opinion that this is going to become commonplace now? It's only 20 years. We have another 100 to reflect on the Iraq failure.
Well, I've known so many Vietnam veterans who were my classmates at Yale. There were several of them, in fact. Then all of the men and women that I taught at the Naval War College who'd been in Iraq and Afghanistan. And the predominant impact, I think, when the war finally ended, was one of exhaustion and disillusion.
Yeah.
And I think that is the best yardstick, if you will, or measure of that intense disillusion and the hollowing out that it brings to the spirit is in the number of suicides from both Vietnam all the way through to today. These wars just hollow out these fine men and women who've served.
Germanicus Ismakovlehos. I am Gaius John Batchelor. We're on to the theater. We sacrifice to Augustus. and then we go to the theater. Tonight we have a Greek company to do Medea. If you know Medea, you know that it's very difficult to come up with an analogy for it in 91 AD, but in the 20th century, no problem. No problem whatsoever. Medea is spurned by Jason in his Golden Fleece victory, and she revenges herself by killing Jason's new wife, killing her children, and being rewarded by Zeus. A chariot sent takes her to Olympia. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right Rug.